guest, and let these words be yours and bless. Amen. On July 6th of this year, Ted Moeller booked a flight from Sarasota, Florida to Miami. Only it wasn't me. I was at the opposite end of the country in Shelton, Washington, doing my aunt's funeral. Nor was it me who downloaded 2 PlayStation rentals the week before that was also charged to one of my accounts. I was a victim of identity theft. A probe is what they told me. And LifeLock was on top of it right away. I recommend them. They canceled the cards and made me change all my passwords. It was a minor inconvenience, but it could have been a lot worse. That's the age in which we live in, isn't it? You have to be very careful protecting your identity. In fact, just last Friday, I learned that my number is sort of connected to someone named Mary who lives in Renton, Washington, because I kept on getting all these phone calls to sell my property there. It's a concern. And I think we all have those kind of concerns too, which is why when we see all those prompts, you know, like sign in or continue as a guest, we're going to be a guest. We're not going to turn off our ad blockers. We're not going to accept cookies. We're not going to fill in any information. And if they say they want to know our location, yeah, they can guess at it, right? And all those other kind of requests we get out there to supply our private details, we don't, or at least we probably shouldn't. Now, to me, that kind of thing is what makes this night so special, and in a way, so very 21st century. Not because the news says our cyber purchasing is over the top this year than ever before, and we should be cautious, but because God does exactly the thing we tell ourselves we should never do. He lays out his identity completely for us to see. Because we live in that kind of opt-in culture, and so we're really scared to give up our personal information, and we almost expect to see on a new gospel app on our phones, to continue with Jesus.com, will you agree to let him know everything about you? But instead, the opposite occurs. God wants us to know everything about him. He comes to us, willfully surrendering all his vital information, and he does so coming into the world as a baby. And he undermines our reticence and everyone else's with full disclosure. To a young Virgin Mary. Blessed, you found favor with God and you're going to bear this his son. To a justifiably concerned fiance named Joseph. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what has happened to her is of God. To some shepherds just minding their own business in the hills outside of Bethlehem. Go check out this good news of great joy. And the response is like, okay. And he shows us how deep is his revelation by coming as an infant, a fragile, helpless, tiny life that expires in us care, love, and joy. And that's exactly the point. That's why his coming as a baby is so perfect, what it brings out of us. How it changes us. And it's more than just what happens with a baby and then adults act silly, or parents willfully give up all their night sleeping, or more than just total strangers looking, stopping, and going, oh, how cute. Yeah, it's all of that and more. You see, I love the way Paul describes it in Galatians, our second lesson today. And let me point out that Paul's letter to the Galatians, that is a very angry letter that he writes. He's frustrated with the church there and is pretty stark in his criticism of what's going on. But before he can end the letter, he gets a little mellow, like anyone suddenly thinking about a baby. He starts pondering children and then his own childhood and then Jesus coming into the world and what that means for us. And he's pretty candid. Like a baby coming, that changes everything. We who are so worried about keeping our identity close that it might be stolen are instead given his. We don't steal it. Christ gives it to us. It's not identity theft. It's identity gift. Because of this child, born at the right time, under the right circumstances, we are adopted into his family. We are his brothers and sisters. And not only does that mean we have all the rights and privileges of being related to Jesus, we share in his everlasting inheritance. And that's the greatest gift of all. At a preschool chapel, I was talking about with the kids, and it actually sunk in that this is the greatest gift. And one kid goes, well, that's probably why it comes at Christmas.
Yes.
It's an identity gift. What we have no right to be or claim is given to us. His own identity. Hallelujah. Back in 2018, I was teaching a senior level class at Concordia University, and I got there early, and there was one of my students that was there sitting in her desk chair just looking befuddled with this really strange look on her face. And I asked her, are you okay? And she says, I think so. I said, so what happened? And she explained that she just found out that she was related to, and then she rattled off some name, and I'm so out of it now, I don't know if it was a rapper or a song guy or actor or something like that, but I guess he was famous and wealthy. And she said, he told me I'm his favorite cousin's daughter. I said, well, that's nice. And she said, it's more than nice. He's paying off my student loans. I go, that's great. And she said, yeah. And it changes everything. Now I can focus on my schoolwork instead of worrying about finances. Now I can apply for that job I really want, even though it doesn't pay very much, but it makes a big difference rather than trying to earn money. Now I can find a way to pay it forward to somebody else. And now, well, the problem is now I have to write the biggest thank you I've ever written. Well, that's kind of, sort of, what happens to each and every one of us at Christmas. But a lot better. We become members of his family. We get God's son's identity. A gift of a new identity found in Jesus. It's ours, a gift. Merry Christmas. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.